You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 1. I put a sheet out back there on the table for you that I thought would be helpful in the light of the message. So it's there for you on believing. It's an exercise to get you to catch it. Our Father and God, we look to you to set apart these moments. Honor yourself. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our studies, we have been exposed and are exposed to awesome truth, wonderful truth. But you can't have that truth. You can hear it for 10 years. The truth will never go anywhere unless you believe. So if we don't understand belief properly, you can have your lamp and your power and your whatever you want lit, but you never get it plugged in. And it won't light. So you can hold it, hug it, and do whatever you want. It won't work unless you're believing. Connect it. So in order to refresh our minds and memories, not that you need it, but now. So in the light of that, God is God, no question. And he lets it be known, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So any answer to anything, anyhow and anywhere, you've got to go to God. God's the beginning and the end and the middle. So without God, and there's only one God and only one Savior, an awesome creator, an awesome Savior. And that God is able to and tells us very clearly that without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, underline, he is. God is. That's the starting point. Yeah, got to start there. You want to start coming up with some answers? You want to come up with some reality? You're going to have to go to God. And he is. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Romans in chapter 1, which you're looking at and reminding yourself. Romans in chapter 1. And may I pick up the context, you know, verse 19. Because that when that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, in where is it made clear, public, plain, in them. For, reason, it is clear, public, plain, in them. For, why? For, God hath showed it unto them. So there's no debate, there's nothing to say. God lets everyone know. Starting point when you're born on this planet, that he's God. It has nothing to do with mommy and daddy or anybody else. God does that in his most magnificent, unique way, only as only God can do it. Now, so therefore, looking at the word, verse 19, that verb, that which may be known. Sliding down, if I can, I'll read verse 20 simply for context. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, flowers, bugs, birds, made, even his eternal power, his ability, dynamite, dynamo, dynamic, all of those wonderful things. And Godhead, he's God, he's the source of everything. He's the originator, he's the one, God, the Godhead. So that they are without excuse, they have no excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew, there's your little word know again, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to honor him. God lets himself be known. And you say, God, you want a kangaroo, you want a big fat Buddha. You're you. And I thank you to glorify you, to honor you. And thus, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Oversliding verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain, verb to heaven to hold, they did not like to retain heaven hold God, where? In their knowledge. They knew, they didn't want to know, and they didn't want to keep knowing. They didn't want to keep knowing. They didn't want to know. Back off. And in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate, to be unapproving. You didn't metal, think of metal, cooking, solder, hot gold metal to separate the gold and the dross. And they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to prove anything. They didn't want to do that. Reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient or fitting. Now, you don't want to just stop there with the knowing, because you keep going. They know. So you say, well, when did they know? They did know. They knew enough to honor God was as they were getting growing, looking. They could know God. God is God. And we shared it 100 times. God isn't a kangaroo, and God isn't a Buddha or anything else. Everyone knows that. Religion's up to here, and we think everything, but we know it isn't true. So therefore, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And there's your little verb again, knowing. They're knowing, they don't want to know. They don't want to know, and then you go to verse 32, and they don't want anyone else to know. So they want everyone to join them in whatever it is, religions, whatever you want to follow. I want everyone to know like I know what I don't know. Really, I don't know, but I don't want to know. Chapter 2, verse 4. Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance, for delaying, etc., and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness, not knowing, they don't want to know, they don't want to know, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Well, they don't want to know that. They don't want to know. People don't want to know. And in the great movement in Romans to get us to see we're what? Chapter 3 and verse 19. Now we know, 3 and 19, and now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. So that Jew and Gentile, that purpose, every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world, Jew and Gentile, may become guilty. Guilty is the word judgment. The judgment is pending, or the word condemn. Think of John 3:18. You're condemned already because we don't believe. That's why we're condemned. We don't believe. Believing is the issue. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and in a day that we're living in at the moment, a very unique day, to say the least, and we have knowledge like we've never had before. An exponential, think of the word 10 and 10 power, 10, everything you do to the 10th power just snowballs. So, knowledge, and I tried to think of what it was. I can't. I heard it the other day, that the knowledge in the light of the computer world and electronic world is developing so fast. I forgot how awesomely fast every day the knowledge is doubling, or whatever it is, not doubling, but growing like that. Wow. Now, back then, you have A, B, C, you read, and back. But today, knowledge is so fast, so much. We can't grab it. We can't possess it. It's very, very, very much and very, very, very fast. And we can't, all we can do is use it, push buttons, and hope it does the work for us, because we couldn't possibly add up that fast. We couldn't possibly think that fast. We possibly couldn't find anything that fast, but we push the button. We want to know how much does a red tomato cost, and boom, we push the button, and probably it would come up, would it? I don't have a computer, so I don't buy tomatoes then. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that, we're guilty, and is knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. And knowledge needs to be understood. But we aren't expected to understand it, we're expected to use it as we need to. So our English word believe, back to what we're doing, the word believe has to do with the English word, to say it in an English dictionary, to take something to be true, or supposed, or to think about, or to imagine, or to guess. All of those words would fit the word believe in English. But when you come to the Greek word, the Greek coming from the Hebrew does what? It means to be persuaded. And, / to be persuaded very effectively. Us persuaded and very much persuaded. Persuaded. Persuaded by words, by persuasion. Now, having that in mind, if you would, the word believe that we're looking at, going to look at, and in the process, over if you would please, to Hebrews 11, and I'll show you the word, that's the root word, believe, believe, to be persuaded, persuaded effectively. Out of that box, out of that plant, comes all of these words that all belong to it. All, and you want to see the words because they explain the verb. So, over, if I can, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And in Hebrews 11, 6, you know it, but, I shouldn't say that, but you do know it. But without faith, it is impossible. The word faith, that's from the word persuaded, the verb, faith. Now watch, there's another word. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. Where did that come from? Persuade, the same verb, same one. To believe, to have faith, believe, persuade. All of them coming from, as more, but that would stop there. Verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, having said that and keeping that in mind about believe, now, and when we come to the Gospel of John uses this word believe 99 times, I think. 99 times. Let me do one of them for you right at the moment. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. I want to see how the Lord exercised that word. Then in John, in chapter 2, and you will note, picking up in the conversation, he's in the temple, speaking of the temple, verse 21. Chapter 2, 21, 2 and 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed, there's a little word we're looking at all the time, believed, in his name. And when they saw the miracles which he did. So they saw the miracles and believed. They're going to see the miracles of the Antichrist and believe. They're going to believe. Now, how did the Lord understand their belief? Yeah, he didn't applaud. He didn't applaud, oh goody, they believed. No, he didn't. Verse 24. Jesus did not commit. That's the same word as the word believe. Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Why not? Because he knew them. He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify, bear witness of him, for he knew what was in man. And he knew in their heart, they really don't believe. They believe, but they don't believe. We'll get it in a minute here. They just didn't believe that much. They were believing, but they weren't believing. Hang on. They just weren't doing it because they're gonna reject him and all of those things. And they didn't believe. They said, we believe, but we don't believe. We don't believe enough to benefit. We aren't believing in who you are and what you're saying. We don't believe where you came from. We don't. And therefore, he would not commit, believe. He would not rest in them. He would not look for their testimony. He would not do that. They do not believe. But they said they believed, but they didn't believe. That's the same verb, no, a word. So having said that in English and that, and God in chapter 3, picking up a little more, you'll see it. In chapter 3, verse 2, to Nicodemus, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now God with him, we understand that. Are we believing in Nicodemus? Or are you trusting who he is? He's God. No, not yet. Over if I can, verse 12. Our Lord adds to help us understand. Chapter 3 and verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? I'm trying to tell you things that you could go with if you wish, but you don't believe them. So how am I going to go to the bigger things that you don't, if you don't believe the simple? How are you going to believe the more difficult? Now, as it were. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, he knew their heart, he knew their thoughts totally. Therefore, over if I can, and you remember, we'll do it, keep help you stay with it. Matthew in chapter 16. And you will note, and the Lord, our Lord, remember we did this the other day, and the light of his resurrection, etc. And in chapter 16, he says, do you who do men say that I am, the Son of Man am, verse 13, and do they know? They don't. They know, but they don't know. John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, etc., etc. Verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, but not Simon Peter, but God enabling Simon Peter to say, verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And God was trying to help them get there inch by inch. And who he was, and to believe in him, because that's what it says, believe now. So in order to believe upon and rest in, over to John chapter 1 for a moment, and all that we're doing is locking in afresh in our memory who he is. Who do you say that I am? John chapter 1, in the beginning, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things, verse 3, were made by him, without him was not anything that was made. And verse 14, thus the Word, God, became flesh, for the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And what was he doing, being full of grace and truth? The Lord Jesus Christ is the way to give us an understanding of God's awesome person. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. We're in the presence right now of God's invisible person. And we share that. You have to understand God's different than spiritually different. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared or explained him. How are we going to understand God? Jesus Christ is there to help us to see God whom we can't see, to understand God who we don't understand, to help us to get there. He's like us because we're made in the image and likeness of God, to enjoy God and know God. Chapter 5. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth, again, on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, like in Romans 3:19, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Wow. So that's what we got to believe. That's right. And you got to believe. Over to chapter 6. What do we know? Chapter 6, and God tells us that he's the Word become flesh. And when we come to verse 6, chapter 6 and verse 63, what are we told? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing, zero. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They're pregnant. They're my words. I am the Word. And what I say, the words coming out alive, full of life. Our words aren't necessarily like that at all, but God's are, and they're full of life as they come out. So they're, wow, they're loaded. They're loaded. What are we going to do with them? Believe. Hang on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, to believe and look to God and trust God in that. Now, so we need to let God be God. Now, simple thing, we believe, everything we do is by faith or belief, basically, generally speaking. And so when you get on an airplane, what do? You get on the plane and you expect the plane to fly and to do. Now, when you're in the plane, what did you do to stay comfortable? You believed it was an airplane. You believed it was owned by a legitimate airline and that it had gasoline. You believe that. And you sit there and you're totally resting in the plane, true? Are you worried about whether the wings are going to fall off? You could. But you could sit there and the wings are going to fall off, you think. But your whole trip would be an anxious of knowing when they're going to fall off and if they're going to fall off. So you could be believing, but you're not really believing. You're not resting in your belief. A, you're believing, trusting the plane totally. B, you're trusting it somewhat because I don't believe this, I don't believe that about it. But you can't enjoy the trip because you aren't sure. Let me do that the other way, in the light of that. So if you had a doctor, when you go to the doctor, don't you expect the doctor, within reason, to know he's the doctor? You didn't go to the plumber, you went to the doctor. That's what you went to. And the doctor is supposed to know what he's doing, and he studied for it and all of those different things. And he does that. So you go to the doctor and you expect the doctor to be the doctor. So that's what you expect. And you aren't expecting him, well, he's the doctor, but he may not know. So as he's trying to examine and help you, but he may not know. So either you're going to enjoy the doctor being the doctor and let him be the doctor, believe, or you're going to take your belief and not really believe, partially believe. I believe this part of the, watch it, I believe this part of the Bible, but I don't believe that part of the Bible. Do you understand? The minute you start doing that, you aren't going to travel growing and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You aren't going to do it, no more than you're going to be in the plane, no more than you're going to be with a doctor. No, you're not, because I don't believe that. Sorry, but that's not the way to go. You can't go that way. No, sir. It'll never happen. Watch. Keep going. So, in the light of that, instruction booklet, all of those things, you have to follow the instruction booklet. And the instructions are written so that you could use something, and you follow them. A recipe book, recipes. You want the picture in the recipe? I was going to bring one out, but I have the picture book, you know, with all the recipes, the big cakes and special dishes and that. And you have the picture. You have a wonderful picture of it, right? You got the picture up there, and you look at the picture. But you know what? You can't eat the picture. You have to go and follow the recipe. And the recipe, like in a computer design, everything has to have a finish. Each part, when they program it, has to have each part. You can't say, the fish ate. You didn't finish it. Everything has to, in the recipe, do it that. Three teaspoons of, what happens if the recipe said that? 3 teaspoons of. It isn't complete. And you couldn't design a computer like that. The computer would reject your design. You can't do it. You'd have to say each thing has to be finished. 3 tablespoons of lard. And that's what you do. That's what you do. You have to have everything complete. Now, God, you gave your recipes, your word. And what am I supposed to do with the recipe? Believe them. Inch by inch by inch by inch. That's how you enjoy them. Otherwise, you can't. You can't shortcut yourself or disconnect. And you'll never get it. That's why we're so in an age here that is so marked by biblical ignorance and biblical apostasy, and why the world is doing communism and all of that in our country and out is so rampant, because there is no light to oppose it. There's no salt to restrict it. It's just free. Wow. As it would be at the end. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, looking to God, believing God's person, who he is and what he said. Not which part of the Bible you want to believe. You can't do that. You can do it. I'm just telling you, it'll never work. You'll never grow. You'll never enjoy God. I don't care what you want to, you people say whatever they want. I'm just telling you, it ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. Not in my lifetime, I've never seen it. And what can I tell you? It's just not going to happen. You got to believe. Look at Acts chapter 16. That's a real simple, direct, simple, wonderful, easy. Acts chapter 16. Now, and you'll notice, please, to the Philippian jailer, going, if I can, to verse 30, 16, 30, and brought them out, prisoners, Paul, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's what he wanted to know. And, simple answer, believe, there's your little word, believe, be persuaded, resting on, fully, trusting, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your part. And thou, passive, thou shalt be saved and thy house. You do the believing. God does the saving. You don't save for nothing. Belief doesn't make anything true. Believing something doesn't make it true. It either is true and real or it isn't. It has nothing to do with whether you believe it. And believing isn't the same as we shared Wednesday on understanding. Believing is not understanding. Believing is making possible understanding. If you don't believe, you can't understand, because you aren't acknowledging the plane to be. You enjoy the plane totally, and you're resting in the plane. And therefore, it's quite easy to say the law of aerodynamics and all these different things. and you're able to enjoy them. But if you didn't, if you think the wings are falling off, then the law of aerodynamics, which depends on the wings, well, how are you going to get it? I believe this part, but not that part. You can't do it. It won't work. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so understanding, we need to understand. And God, in His wonderful grace, wants us to understand in a most wonderful way. Over, if I can, over to, oh, to see it a little bit. Over to Matthew chapter 13 will help us the first part of it, understanding. And you would recall chapter 13. And you'll note, please, the word over and over again. Chapter 13, verse, going if I can, to verse 13. 13:13. Therefore, the Lord speaking, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. You're going to hear, but you don't want to understand. That's because you don't want to. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Finally, again, verse 15. For the people's heart is problem, is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. They don't want to see, they don't want to hear, they don't want to understand with their mind. Lest at any time they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Romans chapter 1, they don't want that. They don't want it. People don't want it. They don't get it either. God wants them saved. Christ died for them to get saved. But they don't. Now, verse 19. And when anyone heareth, our Lord explaining a parable, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it, there's your little word, it not, then cometh the wicked one, the devil, and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart, that which you're trying to understand disappears, which is, this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. And to go down through the illustrations to verse 23. And he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and it which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. They want to understand. Well, how am I going to understand? I got to believe. How are you going to understand? You go to class, go to a math class or some other kind of class. What are you going to do? You can't go there doubting. You're going to have to go to be open, at least to receive what's trying to be conveyed. How are you going to learn? How are you going to learn? They're going to tell you why you do this, why you do this, and why you say this, why you move this, differentiate and all these things. That's why you're going to do this. Otherwise, you won't get an answer. You got to do it. It's the rule. But when it comes to God, we don't. We don't. We talk about God, maybe. And we all know there's a God, but we put him aside, or reform him, reshape him into our religious systems, to all of the thoughts that we think about God and how we want to think about God in the light of our life and how we live, etc. No, in the light of that. Now, having said that little bit, over if I can, well, over there, why not? Over to 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 2, God, for us, for dear believers, they need to know what? God, in the Holy Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, is to convey the truth. The truth will set you free. And so what do you got to do? You got to believe. You got to believe. You don't make it true, but you got to believe. You don't make the Bible real. You don't make God real. None of us do. God is who he is. And we accept everything in life. We run our whole life with the systems. But when it comes to God, we leave him out of the picture. And then we lose. And then we're stuck with religion, and we're stuck with our theories and our philosophies and our communism and socialism, Islam. Oh, we got all of them busy, busy, busy on planet Earth at the moment. Wow. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. And you think of John 16, but don't turn there. John 16, 13 and that. The Spirit of God's going to bring all the truth that he has in mind from Christ, who's the Word of God, become flesh. He's going to bring God. Verse 18, he's going to explain God. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make that real. So therefore, chapter 2, verse 10, 1 Corinthians 2, 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth, the things of man, save the spirit of man? Why do we understand humans? Because we're humans. And a given language and a given culture, we understand. We do. We understand it. Think of the AM, FM radio. We understand FM, and we can get FM. But if you don't have AM, I should say, but if you don't have FM, you can't get it. You can turn the knob any way you want, or push the button, or whatever you do, and you can do it. You can't get FM if it isn't there. You got to have FM. You got to get saved. You got to believe. So therefore, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That purpose, what's the Spirit of God's ministry? That purpose, we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. We aren't trying to do it in a human way, because never work. You can't use the human dictionary, our English dictionary is wonderful, especially the old Webster's and that, but in the process, as language evolves, you got to go to God's word. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not as in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what we're doing. Otherwise, you'll never know. I could give you something and talk 25 minutes, if I could think that much, and talk 25 minutes to you and tell you a whole lot. So what? You want to understand. Don't you understand? Truth. I want to be able to go from Genesis to Revelation in my mind, understanding God's words, God's thoughts, God's practices, so that I can honor God the right way and honor him. Otherwise, I don't. I'm religious. I could be religious up to here. What's that going to do? I could count the beads. I mean, count the prayer wheel, whatever you want. Do whatever you want. It ain't good. It doesn't do anything. Therefore, God, here we are looking. God, you're going to go. And we're to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. The word faith, that's where they come from. Persuade. The verb, persuade. Faith, believe. Back and forth, all over the place. You got to go. Why? You got to say it simply. You got to believe. John 6, you don't have to go back there. The Lord Jesus said, they want to know, what can we do to work the works of God? Verse 29, believe. You want to do a work. What is the work? Not works, plural in this case. The work. The work of God in your heart is to have you believe. God wants you to believe. Just plain believe. God is God. The plane is the plane. The recipe is the recipe. The doctor is the doctor. God's word is God's word. Believe. Simply. Believing doesn't mean you understand by no stretch of the imagination. But it helps you. So when I turn to Ezekiel 48, Ezekiel 94, when I turn to, whatever it is, when I go, I don't know, I couldn't, here's the 66 books of the Bible, I don't even know them, but God does, and God, all God asked me to do is believe him. He said, you know all this, John 5:39, that the scriptures speak of what? Me. All, Luke 24:27-44. All the scripture, Psalms, it's all about me. How can I read the Bible and not say it isn't about you, God? Because you said it was about you. You're the Word become flesh. And there you are. Wow. So I need to understand that and enjoy that. Like I enjoy the plane ride, assuming I trust the plane. And I go down and I don't understand all the buttons and the pushing and everything. I don't understand that. But the pilot does. And the planes operates because it's designed. And the pilot has to believe that the red button is the red button. That's what he has to believe. Otherwise, you don't. You have to be believing. And a thing that pops in my little mind. Years ago, when I took courses at the state hospital and all of that stuff, and one of our lectures or tours was we were doing stuff, and we went into the seeing different patients. This is years ago. And years ago, and we went into the room. Two people were in that particular room. And two people in the room, and the interesting thing was, they both thought they were Superman. They both thought they were Superman. So it was really interesting to stand there and just listen to them and watch them talk about they were Superman. Now, which one was the Superman, I don't know, but they both said they were Superman, and they were very comfortable being Superman, but they can't fly. They can't fly. I believe, but you can't. Well, I believe this and that. No, you have to believe. Whatever you're believing has to be real and right, and you rest on it. And when you rest, believing is a verb, active verb. You're resting down on whatever you're believing. You're believing the doctor, the recipe, whatever you want to be believing. You're believing the key goes in the car. How do you put the key in the ignition? By faith. You believe the little slot that you put the thing in and you put the key in. Why? You put the right key in. When you turn it, don't you expect the car to start? Normally? Sure you do. That's what you do. You believe by faith. That's how you did it. You couldn't do it any other way. You recognize the key. You recognize the lock. You recognize the car. Everything is what it is. You don't make it what it is. You didn't make the key. If you doubt the key, and you doubt the lock, and you doubt the car, you aren't going anywhere. You got to believe. Straightway. Let God be God in a most, most wonderful way. So God, here we are looking, and therefore we don't choose what we want to believe, etc. We look to God to help us in every way. And the Pharisees, scooting a little faster for the moment, God, the Pharisees, boy, did they believe. They believed the Talmud, and they practiced with zeal the law, as the Talmud, Judaism said, and they practiced that, cutting the everything just so, eating just so, and boy, they did that. And you know what? They were the Pharisees. And they were busy. The average Jew going to the working at the sweatshop, he didn't know that like that. The Pharisees did. The Pharisees are righteous. And God said, no, they aren't righteous. No, they aren't. The Pharisees are busy, busy, busy with the Bible, about the Bible, about what they think about the Bible. But they don't know me. And they have no righteousness. They have no righteousness. Without me, you have no, you aren't believing. They didn't believe in him. They rejected him. They yelled, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Jesus, Caesar, etc. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and God's going to go and do his most wonderful thing in a most wonderful way. God, I got to believe. Over, if you would please, to the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. And believing, you're going to believe God's word is God's word. And if you're going to say that in your heart, head, then believe it's God's word from cover to cover. And you can't take that book out. It's from Genesis to Revelation, and you're going to believe it. Now, either you do that or you don't. Either God is God, we're in his presence, and you're letting him be God. You aren't helping him be God. You aren't trying to, all you're doing is acknowledging, like the little kid, the child, God, thank you. Thank you that I could, Romans chapter 1. Thank you for being who you are, for creating me. I can't give you all that yet, God, because I don't understand it. But God, thank you. I let God be God. That's what I'm going to do. And if I don't do that, how am I going to enjoy God? How much did you enjoy God last week? How's that? How much did you enjoy God's presence last week? You had a whole 7 days, 6 days. How'd you do? Enjoying God. You probably enjoyed people at work, at school, and whatever you're doing, talking and sharing, family, friends, enemies. We do all that. How much did you enjoy God? You're in his presence. God, as God, as God. See? That's what God wants. It's not hard. God, that's why sacrifices and offerings and all those awesome things. God said, I didn't want them. But I made all of that to help you learn about me, but I want you to know me. That's what I want you to do. I want you to rest in who I am. Mark chapter 9, here comes the Father. And you would recall, I'm going to, for time's sake, in the light of the text there, context, in verse 23, remember the son was demon possessed and all of that. Verse 22, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire, the demon, into the waters, he destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's what he's saying to the Lord. Help us. We can't fix this kid. This kid's demon possessed. We don't know how to. You can't. No, you can't. Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if first class, and it's true. If, since it's true, if thou canst believe, since you can believe, you can believe. That's what he told the man, Father. You are capable. Don't tell me, I don't have any faith. Yes, you do. You use it every day. You use belief every day. So you don't want to say, I can't believe. Better change that one. You can believe. Do you want to believe? That's the question. Do you want to believe? That's the issue. Now, so he said, thou canst believe. First class, thus, Jesus said unto him, verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, understandably, Lord, I believe. There's your little verb again. Help thou my unbelief. Have you ever said that to God? God, I want to trust you in this, but I'm not. Or did you just quit? God, I'm going to trust you. Help me in this problem, whatever it is. And since God doesn't seem to do anything, you walk away. Or do you say, listen, God, I'm not connecting. The power isn't connecting. I'm not connecting properly. God, help my misconnection. Help my unbelief. Help my stupidity. Help my stubbornness. Help me, please. Do you ever say that to God? Just being honest with God. God, I don't want to pray. At least you're honest. And that's how to get out. God said, I hate the middle. You're either cold or hot. You got to be one or the other. The middle goes nowhere. Help thou mine unbelief. And of course he did. He did. He did do that. And the time's sake, and God did it. Over to chapter 11. In chapter 11, if I can, and you would recall it, 11 and 22, wonderful. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Be having and holding faith in God. In God. Let God be your inspiration. Here you are on a football field, baseball, whatever you're doing, and then in the field, and you're going to go, wow. And you want to get the crowd. The crowd helps, and the crowd's cheering, and the whatever, to keep going. Keep working at it. And you do it. You do it. Let God be the one to inspire, incite you to run. Run the race that is set before you. Let God trigger your heart and mind. But if I don't get God, I'm not resting in you. I'm not letting you be God. Well, then you forget it. You won't have any excitement in your life. You got to let it happen. And God will do it in a most awesome, awesome way. Have faith in God. Let God be your inspiration, for your perspiration. How's that? Let God do that. Let God be the incentive of why you get out of bed, why you go to work, and why you eat your food, why you cook everything, and why everything, when everything falls apart, let God be the reason you keep going. Because you're trusting God, looking to God, learning of God. That's how you learn. And God enjoys the trip with you. God's delighted to go, and we become delighted that He's delighted to be God. Wow. Therefore, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. That's right. Now believe. That purpose you may receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I know it's awesome, and you can't get it. Say, I've had someone say, do you really believe that? And I said, well, I better believe it. I remember him sitting over there and disappeared. Said, you couldn't believe that. It's impossible. Oh, no, it isn't. I better believe it. Move the mountain and you sit there. Well, Mount Washington, I don't know where it would fit in Connecticut, actually. I don't know where Mount Washington would be put. But isn't you go, what are you saying? Whatever you ask in my name, for my glory, in my will, and without taking time to 1 John 5, do it. We'll close with it. 1 John 5. Make it easy. God expects you to, God can do anything. And if God wants to do it, can he do it? Sure he can. What would you do if you were Moses back then at the Red Sea? And God said, raise the stick and I'll open the Red Sea 4 miles across the whole thing. Open it up. And Moses said, well, no, you can't open it up. Look at it. It's impossible to open that up. And he turns around to the people and says, no, you can't open it up. That he's asking me to open up the Red Sea. I can't open up the Red Sea. I know. No. So would you say that to God? No. But Moses didn't say that to God either. No, he didn't. All he did is honor him. With the stick. And Red Sea open up. Wow. But why? Because you believed. It's impossible. No, in God's will. Nothing's impossible. God's going to go in a moment and create the new heaven and a new earth. That's pretty dynamic, if you ask me. That's awesome. Everything changes in a moment. God can do it, absolutely. Same as he created it in the first place. So therefore, if we can, in the light of that, or 1 John, I started to do that. Our time is gone, but I hope you got a little bit. We'll try to put the other positive into this, the wonderful part of it. Chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, according to his will, God's will, whatever God wants to do, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we are asking, we know back to Romans 1, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We haven't even got an answer. I don't need an answer. I don't know what's going to happen, but God does. And I want God's will, and that's what he wants. He said, you got it. You already got it. You want God's will next week, Tuesday. You got it. You don't know what it is. God does. And you believe him. Believe. You're letting him be God. It's a wonderful thing. And if you just try to sit there and piecemeal it, or I believe it, but I don't like that part. And that's why people, if I keep listening, you get discouraged and you quit. Because I don't mind John 6, but I hate John 8. You know, you can't do that. You can't do that. And it won't ever. You've got to enjoy it. And the truths are awesome. The truths will set you free. Awesome truth to walk in the Spirit of God, to enjoy God's wonderful presence. You have to believe. You have to let him be God. And stop, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to know what is the will of God. And ahead of that, verse 1, be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice to God. Yeah, living sacrifice is pretty involved, you know. A dead one is pretty involved, but a living one is pretty involved, because you got to stay dead to enjoy being alive, to enjoy the life God has for you. It's an awesome thing. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, we're just working our way through it all. And God, and these are very troubling times and difficult times in all kinds of ways, and we haven't even begun to get the thrust of all that's happening and all that's going to happen. But God, we're trying to get ready and keep our head and heart right so that we can go down the corridor of time and come out, God. Even so, come, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You told us that's the inspiration for us. At any moment you're going to, because we're here only until you're finished with us. We're finished with grace in order that wrath may proceed. So Father, Spirit of God, our Lord, in your name, thank you. Amen.